Good morning. This is Steve Taylor, and I'm very thankful to have this privilege to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. I invite you to share with me the great mysteries of God and the great glory and wonderment that is ours as we think upon His goodness, His mercy, His grace, His power, everything that God is that certainly we need in our lives to fill the void, the emptiness that we all experience from time to time. We've been looking at the book of Jonah, and this morning we'll conclude our study of the book of Jonah. I confess to you that when I read this fourth chapter, there's much of it that disturbs me. There's much of it that I have to say I just don't understand. And yet, Lord, I pray that He will bless and allow us to see how fickle humanity can be, how depraved humanity can be, and how quickly we can change from one thing to another. We have to stay on guard concerning spiritual matters of our life, that we can seek to be in God's will and stay in His will. And it is a struggle. It's a battle. Paul wrote about the warfare we are engaged in. It's a spiritual warfare. We don't wage that warfare. We're not supposed to wage that warfare against others. Quite honestly, I have the battle inside of myself that I need to deal with on a daily basis. So I just pray that as we look at this fourth chapter of the book of Jonah, that we will be able to see and understand somewhat of God's dealings with us. Just a quick review of what we've seen so far. God appeared to Jonah and spoke to him and said, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and I want you to cry against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He definitely did not want to go to Nineveh, and to the extent that he went down to the port, went down to Joppa, he found a ship that was going in the opposite direction, and he decided that he was going to go to Tarshish. And at that time, at that period of time in history, Tarshish literally was the end of the world. It was in the area that we now call Spain, Portugal, and in that area there, where if you go beyond that, you're in the Atlantic Ocean, and at that point, they had no idea where the Atlantic Ocean would take them. So, literally, Jonah wanted to go to the very end of the earth to try to get away from avoid doing what the Lord put on his heart to do. And his journey kept taking him down, down, down. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the ship. He paid the fare. He paid the price for what he was doing. He went down into the ship. The Lord sent a great wind, a great storm. And finally Jonah admitted, it's all my fault. Just throw me overboard and you'll be okay. And the sailors didn't want to do that, but they knew something was wrong. So they threw him over just as he told them, and when they threw him over, we found that God had prepared a great fish, a whale, that swallowed Jonah, and took him even farther down to the depths of the sea, as far down as could possibly physically, geographically go. God took him down there to stir him, and it was in that belly of the whale in the belly of the sea, in the belly of the earth, as it were, that Jonah repented and he realized that he had forsaken his own mercy by observing his own lying, vanity, empty way of thinking, I can escape God's will. I can run away from God. I can get away from all of this. When he finally came to himself, there's a parallel here between the prodigal son that's found in the 15th chapter of Luke. But when Jonah came to himself, he began to sacrifice the voice of thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord that that God, though he was at the depth of the sea, God had spared him. And he said, I'll pay what I vowed. And apparently he had vowed, Lord, if you'll deliver me from this, I'll go to Nineveh. If you'll just let me out of here, if you'll just put me back on dry land, I'll go to Nineveh. I'll do what you want me to do. And he came to the conclusion, salvation is of the Lord. Whether it be eternal salvation or the daily deliverances that you and I need, salvation, deliverance is of the Lord. It's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. It's of the Lord's mercy that we're not completely done away with. Salvation is of the Lord. And when he came to that point, then the Lord spoke to the fish. The fish vomited him out upon dry land, and Jonah hit the land running. He ran to Nineveh, and as he went one day's journey into the city, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And quite honestly, as we go on through, especially in this fourth chapter, we'll see that that was Jonah's desire. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. Nineveh was a city that they were enemies of the Jews. And so he wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. But God had other plans. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that though there might be those that would want to see us destroyed, you have other plans for us. And as you said through the prophet Jeremiah, you said, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. I know the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God knew what he was going to do, that he blessed Jonah to be a part of that, to deliver the message. Though as we saw last time, I'm not sure that Jonah delivered exactly the message that God told him to. I have a feeling that Jonah may have left out the part that God probably told him to say, and that is, unless you repent, I will overthrow the city. Jonah left that part out, but God didn't, because he stirred the hearts of the people, and they believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth. They repented of their wickedness. They began to fast and to pray unto the Lord, from the king, from the highest position, even right on down. They said to put ashes on beasts, cover them with sackcloth, and begin and cry mightily unto God. Perhaps he'll deliver us. Again, you see, Jonah didn't give that part of the message. He didn't preach the whole counsel of God, and that is that God says, repent. Turn back to me. But God, the Holy Spirit, placed within the hearts of the Ninevites that they needed to repent. And so they did. And at the end of chapter 3, the last verse 10, it says, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil. He turned from destruction to deliverance. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that God, when we turn back to him, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That applied here. When God saw their works, he turned from destruction to deliverance. I just praise his name for that. So we pick it up now in chapter 4. God has spared the city of Nineveh. And Jonah, who was the prodigal that came to himself and went running to Nineveh, suddenly Jonah goes from, again I'm using the parallel with the parable of the prodigal son, Jonah goes from the prodigal to the older brother. Chapter 4 verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was angry that God spared the Ninevites. Remember the older brother? He was angry because the father received back into full fellowship the younger son that had gone off and wasted his substance with riotous living in that far country. Jonah was angry that God was merciful to the Ninevites. Remember when he was at the bottom? Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation, deliverance is of the Lord. Now all of a sudden, he's angry because God did that. God saved. He delivered the people of Nineveh. And he was very angry about that. He didn't think they deserved to be delivered. He was waiting for the city to be destroyed. Verse 2 of chapter 4 says, "And he prayed unto the Lord." Listen, I don't even know how to really say this. But in his anger, Jonah decided to pray. But his prayer was not concerning his own repentance for his anger. Rather, his prayer was a declaration of his being displeased with God. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's exactly what happened. He prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Didn't I tell you that this is what would happen?" And he was angry that God had spared. "I knew you were going to spare these people. It's unspoken, but yet it's there. They don't deserve to be spared, but you did." Oh, I praise his holy name this morning that he does spare. He spares sinners. Remember the beginning of the parable of the prodigal son in the first part, few verses of Luke chapter 15. It says that Jesus was eating with, he was sitting and eating with sinners and with the publicans. And the Pharisees were angry that Jesus would have mercy and actually have fellowship with those that they didn't even think deserved to breathe the same air that they breathed. And this is what Jonah, he's gone from a repentant, undeserving, delivered saint of God to a self-righteous, indignant one who felt himself worthy to be able to judge the people better than God. He said, "This is the very reason I went the other way. I knew what you were going to do." Oh, I find myself almost speechless when I think about this. And yet I understand that even in our day and time, there are those that look on certain groups of people and say they do not deserve the mercy of God. But I'm so thankful that God is able, that his arm is not shortened, that he cannot reach down into the lowest pit and bring us up out of that miry clay and set us upon a rock, and that rock being Jesus Christ. Jonah didn't think they deserved it. He said, "That's why I ran away. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." You know, this is the very thing that he was pleading to God for when he was in the belly of the whale. "Lord, I need you to be gracious. I need you to be merciful. I need you to be slow to anger. I deserve your anger, but Lord, I don't want you to be angry with me. I need your kindness. I need you to turn back and free me from this prison that I put myself in. But Lord, I don't think these people deserve that same privilege as I have." It's unspoken, but he's saying, "I deserve it, but they don't." God help us that we would never have that approach to any other person. God is able. He has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And that's his prerogative. That's his right, if you want to use the word right. God is God, and he knows those that he's bestowed his love upon, that he bestows his mercy upon. Jonah didn't stop with that. Verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Lord, don't you know, I just put myself out there on the line. I went there and I told them 40 days and you're going to be gone. And now here it is, Lord, you're sparing them." His pride got in the way, didn't it? "Just let me die." God said, verse 4, "Doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, how do you feel about yourself right now? You're angry for no reason. You're angry because I'm God. You're angry because I'm doing what I determined to do. So, verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat down on the east side of the city and made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. You see, the king said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And Jonah is sitting there waiting and saying, well, maybe God will go ahead and destroy him anyway. But he made himself a booth. Now that booth was made of branches of trees. Where did those branches of trees come from? Where did the trees come from? God provided the trees. God provided even the booth, the shade that Jonah sat under, where he was waiting to see what God was going to do. Then God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah to give him some shade, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was glad. He was glad that God helped him. But he was angry that God helped the Ninevites. Again, I just find myself struggling for words when I see what's going through the mind of Jonah. So God prepared this great gourd and it gave shadow to Jonah. But God wasn't through because God was teaching Jonah a lesson. God prepared a worm. Verse 7, God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Listen. Jonah wasn't angry about the gourd. Jonah wasn't even angry about Nineveh. Jonah was angry at God. Let's face it, he was angry at God. How dare you destroy this that has given me shade? How dare you prepare a worm that would eat up the gourd that gave me comfort? How dare you descend such a hot breeze, wind that came to beat upon me, to take out my strength. But most of all, he was saying, Lord, how dare you to save these people that I hate? How dare you, Lord? Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? Jonah, do you really think you're in a way of righteousness when you are angry about a gourd, as though thinking I should spare the gourd, but you don't want me to spare a city with 120,000 people in it? Jonah, think about this. Think about this, Jonah. And so the book of Jonah ends just like that. And I think that's one of the things that has kind of befuddled me about the book of Jonah. It ends in an abrupt way. I have to understand that God did spare Nineveh. He did not destroy it, at least at that point. What happened to Jonah? We don't know. Did his story end there? He wished to die at that point, but I believe that God spared him. We just don't know what happened to him after that. Why does the book end so abruptly? Well, quite honestly, to me, and I'm trying to choose carefully how I say this, the story doesn't end there because the story continues on in my life and in your life. In the lives of so many other people. There are times in our lives when it seems like that we have a better plan than God's. We have a better way than God's. We appreciate all the good things He does for us, but there's certain things we think that He should do it this way, that way, or the other way. And when he does it contrary to what we think it ought to be, then there's that point within us that we say, Lord, why did you do it like that? We may not express those words, but sometimes we have that attitude within us. I don't want to end in the book of Jonah. Rather, I conclude this morning by going to the 100th Psalm. Jonah should have made a joyful noise unto the Lord because he spared those people. He certainly would have made a joyful noise if he had spared the gourd, but he definitely should have made a joyful noise when God spared the city. Psalm 100, and I just close with this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being merciful to this sinner. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, though I was unworthy to be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me when I was so unworthy, undeserving. Thank you that in your grace, in your mercy, in your great love, in your truth of salvation, that you delivered this poor sinner. So Lord, I want to enter into your gates in the closing of this message to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. I praise your holy name. I bless your name. I lift you high. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. That you would give us each day our daily bread. And that we would remember that you are God and we're not. But that we might be submissive to your will. This is my prayer for Christ's sake and in his name. Amen. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Thank you for listening today.